Excuse me.
Okay.
You'll have to look out there at the plaque. You see the dedication year. I'm sorry. I just still got this stuff. It's 2000, I don't know, 8 or 9 or something like that. But look on the plaque mm-hmm. out there. The thinking was my own, but many others. It's, of course, Melissa and Charles Barrett, who were board members and graduate. He was a graduate here. I think his son was as well. Were the principal funders for the Bell Tower. And I guess one of the more cosmetic or lighter views is that all universities need a bell tower. But more importantly, we are the Bells of St. Mary's. And we always, at basketball games, pointed somewhere mm-hmm. before we had a bell tower when they sang the Bells of St. Mary's. So that's why that's inscribed on there. I put together a committee. It was which preceded the fundraising part of it. And at the head of that committee was a really bright law professor who was kind of a person for all seasons after the play Man for All Seasons. He was very very intelligent and had a broad view of the world. And he was to first look at the locations and examine. He did everything right. He and his committee went to other bell towers from the University of Texas, Austin, to, that is a bell tower, to Incarnate Words, to others. Trinity has a bell tower. I don't think they use it that much, but they have one. And he looked at location, looked at the bell towers, and then he looked at the location on campus. And interesting.
Are you going to the meeting?
No, I have another meeting.
Oh, okay.
But thank you. His first location was actually behind where about 50 yards or 75 yards from the pub in that little space mm-hmm. there. But obviously, one of the selections was kind of the equicenter of the university geographically at that time. It may not be now as we've extended our housing more and more west, but at that time that was kind of the central place locationally, geographically, where it is now. And then we launched a campaign, and of course Charles Barrett was always interested in the bell tower. He is a very strong St. Mary's affiliation and a very strong traditional sense. He's born here in San Antonio, and he was the Jaguar and other cars dealer on the north side, and he served on our board when I was president, and we were able, principally through his efforts, not only his, but principally through his efforts, to raise the money for the bell tower. The campus community kind of went through a discussion about what it would look like, and so we had an architect, and I'll recall his name. He's still around, but anyway, an architect designed it, and we, you know, talked about it, this height and so on, and obviously had to have bells, and had to have the Bells of St. Mary's inscribed on it, and because of the equicenter of its location, it became and still is a central meeting place. For example, we had a president's reception or dinner there shortly after it was built. It's the location for the ring ceremony today. When the seniors, graduating seniors, receive their rings and they're blessed, it's there. It is the central place for the ROTC recognition of Veterans Day, November 11th, they have things there. And there, I'm sure if I, there are other things that happen there as well, like with sororities and fraternities and student groups and so on. One of the funnier stories was when it was going up, it was being built, and of course it, one of their faculty members, she's unfortunately no longer alive, but her name was Minita Santiso, and she was a very colorful, wonderful person. And she was sure, and she called me, it was right out here, Casey, right out, right, she stood right there, right beyond that second tree, and she looked at it, she said, "Charlie, it's leaning." And she could, she convinced other people it was leaning. So it was like, you know, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Italy. And so I said, "No, you know, we talked to the engineers and the people building it." And so the architect and the structural engineers had to actually do a special measurement and so on to prove that it wasn't leaning when we were building it. And then again, the dedication day was the day that is on the plaque out there. I forget when that was, but we had the Barretts here, Charles and Melissa, his wife, and their granddaughter, actually, but her parents had been unfortunately tragically killed. So it was kind of adopted. Her name was Laura Barrett, and she was here, and we all, you know, before it was built, we took the shovels and put the hats on and so on. And then we dedicated it after it was finished. Now, I still feel it's not finished. It also, by the way, rings at 3 o'clock for the 3 o'clock Marianist prayer. I guess you knew that, but anyway, that's a real tradition here. And now at basketball games, when they sing the bells of St. Mary's, they're pointing to this, not the sky. But my idea was, and it never happened, it was one of these things that was the bridge too far. I was always impressed with different bell towers in larger schools, like the University of Texas Austin, that we could light it up. And I still think that's possible. I think it'd be a wonderful tradition, and why don't you start it? I would think that if we win something in some athletic event, that it would be either gold or blue. And these lights are cast on it, so it's possible to do that and have the lights really bright and have the filters and blue. And if it's an academic event, like graduation or something, it might be gold or white or whatever it would be. We'd have a color scheme.
Yeah.
The way in which Austin has the burnt orange, when they win, the whole tower turns a color. So that was my idea too. That didn't get carried out because we it proved for the facilities person then, not the person in office now, but it proved to be too much difficulty getting the rather expensive filter plates, and then we'd have to change them, and so he had a lot of reasons for not wanting to do that. And I never, you know, it wasn't my highest priority. The bell tower was. And again, I want to suggest that it began with a consultation of a committee and location and what it would look like. And then the architect, whose name I'll get you, designed it. And we shaped it and so on. And, of course, it doesn't have real bells, but it has bells that sound like real bells. And it can play different things. The advantage there is it can play different tunes, different melodies. In short, that's kind of the story of the bell tower. Again, without repeating fully what I'm saying, it began with a view that universities should have bell towers, and a traditional view of alumni and faculty and everyone, the students, that we needed a bell tower. We were, of course, the school song was the bells of St. Mary's, and we didn't have a bell tower. And I don't want to suggest that we're reacting to this, because our bell tower is a real one, and it really has a very practical sense. But Incarnate Word had built their little, we call it Stubby. Stubby is a real small one, a bell tower. And one of the contributors there, Marge Jordan, to our bell tower, said she was a graduate of here and Incarnate Word. And she said, I don't want a bell tower like Stubby. She said, I want a real bell tower, you know, that has this high. So that's it. So that, in a nutshell, that's the story of the bell tower.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Does
I really
help
do
you?
Appreciate it, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think I would get a compilation of events mm-hmm. that are actually held there. I've given you three major ones.
Yeah.
There are many, many pictures there taken. The robing, in fact, when you get your robes, I think that might be another occasion.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many, many pictures there. And frankly, probably most students do know the words, the Bells of St. Mary's. That was put together and kind of revised by one of our brothers way back. Brother Schuster, I think, did that. Help?
Yes.
Okay.